Were there any feats of freakish athleticism over the NFL weekend? Is the answer no? All right, let's just go on with the show then. The intro is planned. This is Papa's Football Podcast.
Actually, I believe Papa RG3 Georgia. Took a massive shit on the Redskins game.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, exactly. His rectum gaped to such proportions, it was something athletic. So there you go. I'm John Papagiorgio, joined by Howard Flood. Twitter handle's at Papa's Basement. He's going to get a nifty new one soon that you'll be able to remember as well. If you're into the show, we encourage you heartily to subscribe to it, review it, and share it with your friends. The show site's pfpod.com. It's got a bunch of Howard's writing, and it also contains every episode of the show. And the best way for you to help us get our numbers up is to use a podcast app on any iDevice, really, or just whatever podcast app you might use for the droids, the Google droids, as they're called, and subscribe, rate us, leave a review, all of that good stuff. That's what helps get you to the top of new and noteworthy, even though the show's like 2 years old, so I think that ship has sailed. All right, Howard, we would be remiss if we didn't talk at least a couple seconds about The Catch Part 2, The New Catch, however you want to refer to it. I know you didn't want to start the show with it.
I mean, what do you want to know?
I just kind of smiled and nodded as he said that. I was like, yeah, but we have to.
He deserves an ESPY, and the Giants don't deserve to make the playoffs. Why are we talking about this more than those two statements?
Well, I have a pretty funny anecdote that isn't really funny, and it'll take 5 seconds, but yeah, we're referring to Odell Beckham Jr.'s really, really athletic catch in the Giants-Cowboys game on Sunday Night Football. I didn't get to see it live.
I missed it live, too, because that game was kind of boring in the first half to me.
Oh, for me, it's because there's what I refer to politically correctly as homo hour in my house, where from 9 to 10, the DVR locks me out because my mom is recording... what is it? Courtney and Kimothy. What's the big fat one? Chloe.
Chloe.
Yeah. Right. Chloe and Courtney take over the Hamptons. So that's recording on one channel. That's nice. Where the fuck? Who's calling me? Oh, guess what? Business. You can go to hell. And business over. I realized that came off as me telling Howard to go to hell. I meant the business. As I flung my phone into my sweatshirt, and 5 seconds later, I went, I'm sorry, and picked it up and took the call.
I'm really upset, because I was going to start whispering, penis,
oh, I heard
into
you.
Your ear.
Yeah, right into the mic. It was feeding through the headphones as I took the call. Yeah. You should have just said it really loudly, and it would have been ringing yeah. out of the headphone into the mic. Excuse me? Is that a brand of lock? All right, yes, what I called homo hour... where on E, we have the Kardashians doing Christ knows what. And then on, I don't even know, is it Discovery? I don't know the other channel that has 90 Day Fiancé Season 2.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, where my brother watches that, proving he's all man. And my mom loves the Kardashians, showing off that master's degree of hers.
Is there a porn spinoff of that called the 69 Day Fiancé?
I would like that.
Yeah.
I would certainly... the hottest girl from season one, for some reason or another, is my Facebook friend.
Like, that's weird.
Yeah, the more like radio, the podcast network that I'm part of. Like,
okay.
They, I think some of the guys knew her. And then because I'm Facebook friends with them, it's just like, hey, do you want to be friends with Paula Mayora or whatever the hell her name is? I'm like, sure, what the fuck?
Does your mom try to friend her? Is your mom just like, oh my gosh?
No. My mom just has a Facebook profile that she uses to stalk my brother and I. That's it. She does nothing else with it. It's just we are her only two friends.
Oh, yeah. No, it was really disturbing once because I made a joke that she did not appreciate and responded on your wall. And I was like, oh, man.
Are you kidding me? I missed that.
It was when we were doing the Adrian Peterson episode. You made a couple jokes about him, like, beating his kids.
The same and, way my mother beat me.
Yeah. So I threw out a little comment on that, and she did not appreciate that.
Oh, for that yappy bitch. I really wish she could lose herself in the online world and stop bugging us so much, but it's not happening. So I didn't get to see Odell Beckham's catch live because of that, but I came back to the game right at 10:01, whenever the DVRs snap off.
I mean, a little bit of context for this game, it's largely irrelevant. I mean, yeah, the Dallas Cowboys going into this game had something to lose, but
Cowboys had something to lose. New York was out. New York had pretty much zero to gain.
Yeah, so this is like a relatively uninteresting matchup, except for the fact that, you know, divisional rivalries can lead to upsets. Like, I was not shocked at halftime because I kept flipping back and forth to see that New York was up.
Yeah, it's funny to me that a non-playoff, non-elimination game catch got such press.
No, I'll tell you why. It's New York.
You think
so? New York, absolutely.
I don't know if it's a New York thing. That thing has been photoshopped goddamn onto whatever you can imagine 12 hours after the fact.
In fairness, it's also Sunday Night Football, so Michael Irvin was tweeting about it, LeBron James was tweeting about it, but the reality is it's more like Dallas Nation, America's team. Like, both Irvin and LeBron are Cowboys fans, so...
Why do I stick up for that balding son of a bitch? I always forget that. He's from Cleveland, dude. He's into, like, the Yankees and the Cowboys. Ugh.
Just the winners.
Ugh, yeah. Good Lord. Oh, God. What are the other stories of the weekend? Because I know we each like to pick a couple and bring them to the table. I want to do more on the Buffalo game, actually, which
has getting
not
postponed.
Occurred yet.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it got postponed over the weekend because Buffalo received, I don't think I'm exaggerating, wasn't it 7 feet of snow? Like, that sounds like I'm joking.
No, I mean, it started out, it was about 7 feet.
It was like two different 3.5 foot snowstorms. Yeah. If anyone wants to know why Buffalo is a shithole and you should never enter it, never sniff around it, that's why. 7 feet of snow. And it's not like they angered God or something like that. That's just fucking November in Buffalo, 2014. So the game got delayed. Initially, they were trying to get people to volunteer to dig out for, what, $10 an hour?
Well, they
free tickets.
Still might need those people to help for this upcoming week. I mean, there's no guarantee of... what's going to happen for week 13,
That's
right?
How godforsaken the city is. Not only is it completely snowed in, but I think it's today like 50 degrees there. And now they have to evacuate because there's probably going to be flooding.
Yeah.
With the amount of water generated by this shit. So for me, I'm just like, hey, bonus Monday night game. And it starts kind of early. So by like 10 p.m., I can go on my merry way for the evening. So I've actually found this Buffalo Bills bar nearby. Called, was it Jimmy's Old Town Tavern?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, the guy that runs it is a Buffalo fan. So I'm going to go there and just eat the wall of meat that is that northern diet.
Wait, what is it called again?
Jimmy's Old Town Tavern.
And that's in Fairfax.
It's in Old Town Herndon.
I forgot about that.
Yeah, it is old within old. And I'm going to go there. They sell this this just meat platter. That's something like meat pierogies, kielbasa, a Wrecker sandwich, which is one of those like beef au jus type things, and then a side of chicken wings, and that's your platter.
Because I believe the game is not available nationally.
It is absolutely not available nationally.
You have
to
have DirecTV or whatever, NFL game ticket, whatever.
Yeah, so I'm like, fuck it, they're going to have it. This guy apparently makes a big deal out of Bills games. So I am going to go there and promptly be constipated for a week, and I'm looking forward to it. So that's kind of, given the Redskins are just a fucking dumpster fire, I have to find weird little things to get psyched up for every weekend. And this week, it is the Buffalo thing. I'm going to go there and eat sausage and die. How about you?
Scout, why don't you... I'm not going to be able to make that game tonight. I'm actually appearing on a different podcast this evening, so...
Yeah, you trollop.
I'll be doing that, but check out the Jets for me. I think they have an important matchup upcoming next week against the Dolphins, who surprised everybody by almost beating Denver... at Mile High.
Oh, yeah. It took some fourth quarter, I don't want to say magic because that's such a cop-out way of putting it, but I believe Peyton had to hang up 2 fourth quarter touchdowns for that wing.
The way I like to look at it, Peyton Manning does have a lot of fourth quarter comebacks in his career, but I look at it at that he has to dig himself out of the hole he created for himself.
That happens a lot.
Yeah. I mean, he didn't really necessarily put himself in that situation. But yeah, I mean, there was an issue with turnovers, et cetera, for Denver, and that explains why they were even behind Miami to begin with.
Well, I didn't watch the game, so I don't know if they were in a hole. You said it was due to turnovers. I was going to say anytime a team hangs up over 30 points on you, you can point at least some fingers at the defense.
Yeah.
But if you're saying he was throwing goddamn picks at the
time. He wasn't throwing picks, actually. It wasn't him.
Oh, okay.
It was kind of like with that Redskins game. Like, you can't blame Kaepernick for making it a close call. There were a couple fumbles by running backs that weren't on
him. I remember
him.
Gore giving one up during
the Skins game. Yeah, and then Hyde gave another up. So, I mean, it's just, this is the time of year we got to run the ball effectively, and you can't cough it up like that as a running back.
Yeah, I don't know. We'll get to the Skins. I don't want to make it all about the Skins, but it's one of those deals again where it's not all in my head. There is a lot of national press coverage going towards the team. And for all the wrong reasons. For all the fucking wrong reasons. It's 2012 was so long ago, dude. It was so long ago. Do you know how weird it was to have positive national press coverage of the Washington Redskins?
I mean, here's my take on it, though. I'm really focusing in on these wildcard races now, so that's why I want to talk Miami in one vein, and then also San Francisco. And to me, that was not a great game from the Redskins. But you have a San Francisco team that had to have a late fourth quarter touchdown drive in order to win.
Well, the Skins suck at generating turnovers, and they managed to get three against the 49ers. So you draw your own conclusions from that, man. I think they're one of the lowest in the league. They're probably like 28th or below.
It's just you have a 49ers team that is supposed to face off against the defending champs.
Yeah, next week.
On Thursday.
Yeah, one of the Thanksgiving games.
And they did not look like a team that was going to go very far if they made the playoffs against the lowly Redskins. So to me, that's a huge story that as bad as the Redskins are right now.
That epithet back in front of the Redskins. Lowly, mangy, pathetic.
But no, seriously, like watching Griffin versus Kaepernick, I just wasn't impressed with the play of either. Kaepernick's more confident right now than RG3 is, but I don't like where his decision making is for the most part.
Yeah, here's the other thing. He didn't cost several first round picks.
Yeah, he's a second round pick, man.
Just some douche they got out of the second. That's it.
But the reality is he still gets hit too much. He holds the ball in improper situations where he should be throwing it.
Who are we talking about again?
Exactly. No, they both do the same thing as far as that goes, man.
Exactly. Except one of them cost three extra picks.
Well, but neither of them plays as well as Russell Wilson. Russell Wilson has an excellent understanding of when to throw the ball away, when to just pull it down, run and take 2-3 yards. You know, going out of bounds instead of getting tagged so we can immediately run back and call a no-huddle play instead of just getting up and moaning in pain from the hit you just took. Like, Russell Wilson knows how to understand he understands how to play quarterback. He's only a couple years in. Just the same as the other two guys. So, to me, between those three quarterbacks who are gonna, like, have basically played games in San Francisco within 5 days, Russell Wilson is the clear front runner. And so that's why I feel like Seattle's a team that is starting to get into a playoff push here.
Yeah, I was looking at what Seattle pulled off yesterday. I think it was, what, a 19-3 win over the Cardinals, who are still, you know, the quote-unquote class of the NFC.
But look, the Cardinals are a non-story until they have their rematch against Seattle. I know this was at Seattle.
Yeah, it was at Seattle. Give them that.
They're playing doormats the next couple weeks before they go back to play Seattle in Arizona.
Who do they have between now and then?
You want me to pull that up?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm curious. Right. You said doormats.
No, nah, it's...
They have, like, the Raiders and the Skins or some shit, or...
No, nah, like, upcoming for...
They play the Skins twice.
They're at Atlanta. I mean, Kansas City's coming off a really bad loss on Thursday night. That's December 7th for Arizona, and then they're playing at Seattle, who just dropped another dud on offense. So, really disappointed with...
I would call Atlanta pretty much a doormat game, but I wouldn't pronounce Kansas City dead.
That's bad, man. They gave Oakland its first...
Shit happens. It was in Oakland, and it's a divisional game.
No team has an excuse for losing to a team whose quarterback is Alex Smith. I'm going to stick by that.
I'm just going to stick by that, man.
There's no reason you should lose to that team.
Yeah, I'm never going to sing that man's praises, but I've stopped just lambasting him, too.
Yeah, I mean, I understand what you mean. That it's a good team. Kansas City's a good team, but am I stunned that Oakland beat them? No.
Are both the streaks still alive, by the way?
Which one?
Kansas City hadn't allowed a rushing touchdown, and they didn't have a touchdown from one of their wideouts yet.
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know.
That was just one of those weird things that I kept seeing pop up on Reddit. Maybe if you start talking for about 30 seconds, I'll hop on and check for it. Yeah, that Thursday night win by the Raiders means no one's going to go 0-16. The Lions are safe in history for another year. Yeah, I did want to bring up Seattle beating the Cardinals, and you had touched on this, but it does in some ways echo what Green Bay pulled off yesterday by with their win and Detroit's loss. I believe Green Bay, which had been a couple games behind Detroit for a good portion of the season, is now in complete control of the NFC North, sole control.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, they're looking honestly in control of the number one seed, in my opinion, for the NFC.
Yeah.
They're looking good, and they're looking to get better every week for the rest of the season.
Yeah, you look at Seattle there, another team that was, I guess you could say, several games behind the Cardinals for a lot of the season, but really, how much would it take for them to pull off a Green Bay-esque streak and all of a sudden that last week or two of the season gain control of the division? I mean, they already have a tiebreaker the Cards, which will be figured out one way or the other.
They have to beat the Cards again in order to have the outright tiebreaker.
Yeah.
But that only puts them one more game back. So
exactly. You know, that's what I'm saying. If we're presupposing that they pull off that win too, then yeah, there's not a lot of crazy shit that has to break in their way.
There's some great football to be played in the NFC West right now. So it's exciting to see that race. And then out of the NFC, the other exciting race to me is the NFC East. You know, who's going to win that division? We got a great game upcoming on Thanksgiving. I'm looking forward to that Eagles-Cowboys game.
Oh, two of the three Thanksgiving games are going to be very good.
Yeah.
And then at 12:30, you just have the hot piece of shit of the Bears visiting Detroit. If Detroit loses that, fuck it, just kick them out of the league.
Listen, that's an important game. I mean, that really dictates how Green Bay is going to have to perform.
Oh, I'm not saying it is unimportant. It's just probably not going to be good.
And really, like, Detroit has the, like, softest schedule as compared to Seattle and San Francisco. I mean, that right now is the competition for the second wildcard spot. It looks right now like the first wildcard spot will come out of the NFC East. Whoever loses between Philly and Dallas is probably going to end up in that wildcard slot, it looks like. So you got two teams coming out of the East. And right now, I think it's going to be two teams coming out of the West. There's three great teams in the NFC West. And I just think
the Rams and who else?
You're such a jerk. But no, seriously, I don't see the Lions being able to keep up, except for the fact that these teams in the NFC West still have to all play each other. So that's the only saving grace that the Lions have right now, because at this point, they need to forget about the playoffs. They need to score a touchdown. It's been too long since they've scored a touchdown. It's unacceptable for that offense to have gone as long as they have without.
How long has it been? I didn't even know this was a thing.
Nah, it's...
They're on a cold streak?
Oh, yeah, yeah. They didn't score a touchdown last, like, against the Patriots, and then the game prior to that, they didn't score. I believe they didn't score after the first quarter, something like that. It's been
bad. Lord.
Yeah. And you have Megatron alongside Golden Tate and former 5,000-yard passer Matthew Stafford running that offense.
Yeah,
they
exactly.
Can't score a touchdown. There's something wrong in Detroit.
Wow. Oh, does Caldwell suck? I'm sorry, he does. Is there anyone in the league who looks dumber on the sidelines?
He just looks
Jim
confused.
Yeah, he does.
It's as if he doesn't understand.
It's like he's watching Inception. He's like, oh, this is not a dream. That's it. That's his face. His entire fucking career.
So yeah, to me, it's at this point a seven-team race in the NFC. I mean, somebody's going to come out of the South. I don't really care who it is. They might win a game at home, but they're not getting into the Super Bowl. I mean, that's just – it's a joke of a division at this point. So you're looking at that team, whoever coming out of the South, plus, you know, two teams from the East, two teams from the West, and the Green Bay Packers. So that's what we're looking at. And, you know, it's just a real question out of those three teams, the NFC West. Like, who are we really looking at? I guess Detroit theoretically could come back. I'm sorry to the people of Detroit. You think you have hope for the playoffs. I think that's laughable at this point. So
they've certainly cooled off. I mean, as a guy that doesn't pay a ton of attention to the Lions, I can say this much. I have noticed things have not broken their way. They've had a couple trouncings, man. It's been bad. What are the other little tidbits from around the league? Ryan Mallett out for the season.
That's rough, man. I feel bad for him. Did you hear this story?
I just know that this was this not his first start over Ryan
Fitzpatrick? This was
Ryan
his first NFL start. Yeah.
Okay. And yeah, he pulls an Arakpo and tears his tit muscle.
In warm-ups.
What?
This wasn't during the game. So
what?
He felt it happen in warm-ups and he didn't tell anyone because he wasn't going to give up his first NFL start.
Oh, and then he went to throw a pass and then he went, oh, the muscles literally are not working.
I didn't see any of the highlights of him throwing it, but yeah, like he fought through it just to play. And, you know,
oh,
he may never play another snap in the NFL. That's what's brutal.
Damn dummy.
Man, come on. Like, that's his first chance and then he gets over.
Yeah, but dude, if it's my first chance to go on a national radio show, and 2 minutes before airtime, I go, and there's a huge puddle of blood, like I've got the consumption. I would go, huh, gives you pause, doesn't it?
No, I think you would go on.
Yeah,
I think you would go on.
Yeah.
So get off it, man.
I would channel my inner natural.
I mean, I wouldn't have drafted that guy out of college from what I saw in college, but, you know, I feel bad for him right now. That was his shot, man. And, you know, it's...
Now they're back to that bearded hipster fuck Fitzpatrick. Josh Gordon back after his 10-game suspension.
Yeah, that AFC North battle. I mean, they did not look good in Cleveland.
I didn't watch much of the game. I simply know that they were behind the Falcons for a large chunk of the game, and then Mike Smith did some really shit play calling. Like, yeah. Pretty much the Falcons should have been gunning to run out the clock, and I think with like 50 seconds left, he called a timeout on a 3rd and 2, as he put it, to make sure we called the perfect play to convert.
Whatever.
And he throws a fucking deep ball to, it wasn't even to Julio Jones. Julio. I always thought there's a weird way to pronounce his name. Like, I thought people...
Why would you think that?
Yeah. No, for some reason I was like, wait a minute. Like, that's spelled Julio, but people call him Julio. And then I think I was just around really stupid people when he was being drafted. Yeah, it's just Julio Jones. They didn't even throw to him, though. It was to Hester. And they fuck up the pass. And then, they settle for a field goal. And the Browns have enough time to get it. Like, with, you know, they were in field goal range with like 3 seconds left and kicked the winner. So, tee-hee-hee.
I mean, we'll see if they can hold up.
Josh Gordon's a huge weapon to get back. He had a pretty good game, man. Like, I mean, off the bat, he did very well for himself. And apparently he just, like, almost started crying during the post-game interview. So, one, haha, you homo. And two, you know, that's pretty cool that he cares that much.
But, yeah, man, I would love to see three teams come in that AFC North into the playoffs, as long as, like, one of them is not the Steelers. I mean, that to me would be perfect. If you got the Ravens, the Browns, and the Bengals in the playoffs, that to me is a perfect AFC situation.
It would be very cool.
I'm not a fan right now of the way KC is playing. San Diego's looked awful, man. They're just...
Oh, that God, for like, was it week 6-ish? They were the sexy pick. Weren't they like 5-1 at one point?
They looked impressive.
What are they now? 6-5 or some shit? 6-4?
Yeah, and they barely beat Jacksonville. I'm sorry, that wasn't Jacksonville. Who they beat
yesterday? Okay, they're currently at 7-4, which is not horrible. So they've rattled off 2 wins since really having some problems.
But yeah, man, like this week, who did they beat?
This week, they barely got past the Rams.
Yeah, man. I mean, Sean Hill gave him that game, man. Really? Like, the way the quarterback played for the Rams.
Again, I didn't watch it. I simply saw the line at the end.
So, I mean, they have 2 games where they beat bad teams by narrow margin.
At least they did it. That's all I can say. At least they did it.
Because Kansas City couldn't do it.
Yeah, no, people put a lot of weight into, like, oh, they barely got past this bad team. Fuck it. They did it. That's all that matters until the end of the season. And then you hope you can get your act together and beat the good teams.
Nah, but KC and San Diego have tough schedules upcoming, so I don't know how they're going to perform, man.
What do they have left?
All right, I'm pulling up San Diego right now. You want to pull up KC?
Sure.
I got I got San Diego right here. They're at Baltimore.
I wouldn't call that some unwinnable thing.
But at is an operative word there.
Okay.
So, you know, you don't want to play good teams on the road. That's a tough matchup. Versus New England. Then they host Denver.
Mm-hmm.
Then they're at San Francisco and at KC.
Okay.
And they just barely beat St. Louis.
Wait, I was supposed to get the Chiefs, right?
Oakland, yeah.
Sweet, I remembered. Okay. Chiefs have, let's see, Sunday the 30th, they're playing the Broncos. That looks like the primetime game, actually. And then they are at the Cardinals. The next week.
Tough game. Come on, man.
They're going against the Raiders, who beat them. Yeah. They then go to Pittsburgh.
Another playoff team.
They host the Chargers. So that could be a very interesting one, week 17.
Or it could be a non-issue if both of them suck it like up to that point. I think the North might lock it up by then.
I am playoff picture half full in my outlook.
You love Andy Reid, man.
So there you go. I do. Fucking, I was on the Tattoos and Touchdowns football show yesterday, and we were just, you know, he was a Giants fan, and I was explaining, Will, the host, and you try to find common ground as someone who likes a rival team in the NFC East, and it's
right.
Like, well, do you like the Cowboys? No. It's like, okay, then I don't hate your team that much. That's usually how it's settled, and then if they say, yes, I do like the Cowboys, like... Let's talk hockey. Let's talk Kardashians. I've seen a lot of them lately. The last story that deserves some sort of mention coming out of this week, unless you have anything else to eat time. There is a Dominic Raiola, I believe his name, who publicly came out. He's a Lions lineman, and he came out and said that out of frustration, he, on the final play of the game, just dove for the knees of a Patriots defensive lineman, Zach Moore, trying to take him out, man, North Dallas 40 style.
Yeah, that's not...
Not saying it would have gone undetected, but it did at the time, and I get the feeling that the league is probably not in the habit of reviewing kind of, you know, victory formation, take a knee type shit.
So, when you declare your intent, when you verbalize, like, what you were intending to do.
Why? Yeah.
That's the part where, like, there should be an idiot tax involved. I'm fully in favor of finding someone who's, like, that upset. And I think one of the reasons he had to declare it is that after the game, I honestly would probably take the Patriots in a fight against the Lions. Because the image I saw was LeGarrette Blount calling Ndamukong Suh a bitch at the end of the game.
Didn't I hear about that?
I don't know if you remember this, but do you remember how LeGarrette Blount came into the NFL?
Probably not. But if you tell me, there's a chance I'll go, oh, I remember that,
so,
and pretend I did. LeGarrette
Blount played at Oregon.
Okay.
Opening game, like season kickoff. Against Boise State one season.
Uh-huh.
Ended up, I think, being his final game in college because Oregon lost to Boise State.
Oh, did he clock someone or something?
Yeah.
Okay.
Blount just went up, boom.
I do remember that. See?
So I think most people in the NFL remember that LeGarrette Blount really doesn't care.
Yeah.
I mean, he hurt his draft stock in college because it was that
DGAF.
Important to him. And I know that, you know, he's part of the Patriot way now. And yet, like, just looking at him, I wouldn't test him. I just wouldn't. That's not a guy where, like, you want to see how hard he can still punch people.
Yeah.
So, and Ndamukong Suh is just slowly walking away, and LeGarrette Blount is like, please come this way. Please come this way.
I'd still take Suh in that fight. I'm sorry.
No,
Suh's
there's no
a fucking freak.
No, man. No. I mean, he's all bark in comparison to Blount. Blount, I don't think he talks that much. I just think he hits.
I don't know, man. I don't know. Ndamukong Suh, like, I imagine those feats of strength that you attribute to, like, silverback gorillas, like, give him a tractor tire and he'll rip it in half. I think Suh could do that as well.
I mean, nah, he's just, I mean, when they say he's a dirty player, I think it's more he's a petty player. I think he doesn't have, like, the real toughness that is required to win in a street fight. Whereas LeGarrette Blount, I mean, he's shown his willingness to get cut from teams multiple times in his career. So I think that man is pretty fearless when it comes to taking shit from other people.
Not the worst logic. Yeah, so even if the game sucked, there was an interesting dimension to it.
By the way, Patriots are like the outright favorite in the AFC right now.
Yeah, it wouldn't shock me. Denver's had a really tough time of it the last month. Like, I can't think that anyone would look at the Broncos right now and be like, that's a safe pick. I mean, they had to fucking gut it past. Who was it again this weekend? We were just talking about it like 5 seconds ago.
Oh, nah,
the
Dolphins.
Not the Dolphins suck. Like, I actually like them. And I feel they're going to get screwed out of the playoffs despite being pretty decent. But you know what? I guess there's teams every year that were like this close and
we'll
didn't
see.
Make it.
Nah, Dolphins, man, they still could end up with a losing record to me because they're playing at New York next week. I don't know. I'm not confident they can win that game, man.
Well, yeah, you have this huge belief in New York still.
Not really, man. Not really. I'm big on Geno's been benched, so I've kind of lost my faith in that team. But I still think Mike Vick's a better quarterback than Ryan Tannehill.
No, I like Tannehill more. Sorry.
That's fine. But he's still not good enough. Like, he didn't hold a lead in the fourth quarter. When they went down to Manning.
I don't know, man. When you put up 36 points, what the hell do you want out of the guy?
He didn't put all those up.
I didn't watch. I could simply look at the number 36 next to a Dolphin in front of the
sun. I'll say this.
Sun.
That last touchdown was garbage time.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that
so,
sucks,
I mean,
then.
It's just basically Manning leads a fourth quarter comeback, and Tannehill just takes it. Like, he doesn't do anything to help his team. So once they're finally up to the point where, it, you know, 10-point lead,
he
whatever.
He takes it like the passive. As I recall, Mrs. Larry having to describe a lover that took a penis in Roman society. She simply said the passive. That was our Latin teacher. I went a little deep there just for Howard's sake.
Thanks, man. I appreciate that.
Just for a giggle out of the boy. Let's see. Eagles went to 8-3 with a pretty big win over the Titans. For some reason, I thought they had more losses than that. 8-3 is a goddamn good record, my friend.
Yeah, no, that's definitely... sorry, man. I
No, it's cool. The Bucks ate shit at Chicago playing the Bears. I still hard to think you'll ever see anything out of the Bears this season, but you know what? They did what the Redskins couldn't do. They took out fucking Lovie Smith, his return home, by 8 points. So again, let's not act like they ground into dust their competition. And the Redskins looked, not so much the Redskins as a whole, but goddamn, RG3 just looked so maladroit in San Francisco. And the dude, I don't know, man. There's multiple people just calling for him to be benched at this point.
I'm going to defend him a little bit, because the way I look at it, he was at his low point last week. Like, last game, to me.
He looked better. I agree wholeheartedly. He did look better this game.
He needs to just start over and slowly get better every week. And that's the goal. This was not a magical performance he put out there by any stretch of the imagination. And I understand why people are calling for him to be benched now. I really think you got to give him another chance. First couple drives of the game, because I watched the game. It's local for us, so it was on CBS, whatever. I watched it.
Yeah, okay. Not to interrupt you completely, why is a game between two fucking NFC teams on CBS? That blew my mind.
I think it had something to do with NASCAR.
We sat there like goons watching the post game, and at like 4:38, I'm like, there's no fucking way the other game hasn't started. And I'm like, is it on CBS? And we flipped to that.
Local affiliates really like fight for the local games, so I mean...
And was it the fact that eventually Fox was going to carry NASCAR at like 5 or some shit?
I think so, yeah. Okay. It's that plus CBS would always
I just thought it was like a hard
bonus
I thought it was, if it's two NFC guys, it's Fox. If it's two AFC, it goes to CBS. And then if it's a mixed game, whoever the visitor is determines which network gets it.
I think that's changing more now, yeah. They're trying to be more equitable. Who knows? But yeah, man, I thought RG3 might get benched early on because he was missing like the obvious throws. He kept going for bad reads.
The first quarter and a half looked as bad as it could get.
He wasn't getting rid of the ball. He was just standing in to get sacked instead of just, you know, throw it out of bounds. Like, he just, it bothers me that him and Kaepernick never seem to just like get rid of the ball. I'm like, that is what every quarterback has to do if they're going to be a successful player. You have to learn to get rid of it sometimes. It's just the play's dead. Don't take a sack. You know what you don't do? Don't get sacked.
Yeah, and I felt this week, at least it wasn't completely on him, the sacks he took. There were sometimes...
No, it was on him.
Well, okay, a lot of times he still was holding it too long, and I just... If you think you can teach the guy to not do that at this point in his career, haha, good luck. But there were a couple times the offensive line buckled like the fucking hull of the Titanic meeting an iceberg. And just even then, though, just like you said, get rid of it, goddammit. Master that art. How many times is he going to lose that team 6 yards?
It also bothers me he doesn't see the moment where you just have to step up and reduce the number of yards you lose. Because when he gets hit on a sack, it's not necessarily from the blind side. There were a couple times there's a guy coming in from his right, and he's not even stepping up to just, like, lose fewer yards. You know, he's not making the smart football play to me.
Oh, and this just in, he will be starting this Sunday.
He should start this Sunday. He earned it. I think he earned it. I mean, he played better in the previous week, and at this point, they got to figure out what he's worth. So,
I think at this point in the season... Is there really any reason that he doesn't start the rest of the way?
If he regresses, I think you don't start him necessarily, but if he regresses and just doesn't show the ability
to comes on the
grow,
field in a diaper or something?
Well, I mean, if he just keeps going downfield, just looking for the long pass, not taking obvious shorter throws, you know, just continuing to take sacks, not really showing the ability to, like, reduce negative plays, turning them either into incomplete passes or just, you know, scramble a little bit. They're just little things he can do to show that he's growing every week. He doesn't have to be the player he was in 2012 by the end of the season. But he does need to show some growth heading into next season, because I just think that, you know, the worst, it wouldn't be that bad, honestly, if they brought him back for 1 year next year, if he shows growth between now and the end of the season, and then they had him and McCoy, I wouldn't say open competition, but, you know, something kind of like what the Jets had this year. I know it's not ending well for them with the battle between Vic and Geno, but I think that's where the Redskins are right now. Like, at this point, they got one more year with RG3, keep McCoy in there just in case, and then if it doesn't work out, yeah, you're going to have to start over with a new quarterback.
What is the most likely scenario? Like, I don't want to go total deep sports radio jackathon, because all sports radio is just like, here's this pretend scenario. We are now going to take 80 callers who say the same thing about it.
Yeah.
So I don't want to just, you know, talk to you and be like, all right, let's say they just are going to trade RG3 next year. What could they possibly get for him?
Nothing.
I think the answer is nothing.
You don't trade him. For $3 million, like, that's a great guy to have as, like, your backup or third stringer.
But what is the most likely scenario, in all honesty? They just got him one more year, and then the guy's gone, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's probable at this point. I think there is a possibility for him to actually set aside some of his ego. I really think the thing holding him back right now is ego. Like, he doesn't understand. He plays hero ball. You know, it's that idea that he's just constantly looking to be the guy. And the most important thing that happened this Sunday was he handed the ball to Alfred Morris. And people are joking, like, ha, 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 ha. Like, best thing on offense on Sunday was Alfred Morris. It's like, well, yeah, but...
Nothing funny about it. That guy rules. I love him to death.
Yeah, like, it's... I think Griffin had to take a step back and look at the fact that Morris is the better option right now. So I think if he can look at the offense for what it is and not him being the best guy on the field anymore, that's some growth on his part. If he can just learn to play the position for what it's supposed to be, that team's going to be better. But I was really upset. I was watching NFL AM this morning. I forget the guy, but one of them was just saying that right now Griffin is the best quarterback on that roster. And he's the most talented athlete, the one who has the most potential to be an NFL success at quarterback. But right now Colt McCoy is a better quarterback on that roster. I mean, he's not the guy that you would look to take you to the playoffs at this point, but he's better than Gruden's.
He's your version of shoving in Orton or Ryan Fitzpatrick. I got you.
Yeah. No, like, he's the better option right now. He's playing better football, so.
All right, buddy, let's get into next week's action.
Got to start with Thanksgiving, man.
Absolutely. This is the kind of the PSA. This is all we get to do in terms of a PSA. If you have a football show, this is the one useful thing you will truly hear out of my mouth all year. The game starts at 12:30, not 1. Don't be fooled. I cannot tell you how many years in the past I've turned my TV on Thanksgiving Day, 1 p.m., expecting a game to start, and instead you're pretty much through the first quarter.
Yeah, and there's usually some awesome long bomb, and you're just like, what happened? Why is it 7-0 already?
Oh, I mean, at the very least, you spent another half hour with your family you didn't need to. Like, you can throw on football at 12:30, get into the cocoon, and be like, I am sorry, I don't have time for you.
Yeah, I'm not sure how much I'm going to be able to watch games this year, man.
Really?
Yeah, my girl's family's coming up, so, like, we're doing the dual family get-together for Thanksgiving. It's going to be a little stressful, going to be honest. And we're starting dinner around 1:30, so I think it's gonna be tough to get games in early on. I'm not gonna miss the Bears versus Lions too much, but really hoping that by 4:30, I'm able to watch a little bit of Eagles Cowboys.
I'm probably getting grenaded out of most of the Bears Lions game as well. My brother's chick is a waitress, and we're going to her restaurant or some shit for Thanksgiving. So
do they have TVs?
No, it's like a pretty high-end restaurant.
That sucks, dude.
Yeah, exactly.
They might have one in the corner. High-end restaurants often do.
I'm going to have to bring my game gear with the TV tuner. I don't think that works now that everything's in high def.
What channel? CBS. See, if it's on NBC, what's cool about NBC is, like, you can really get games broadcast to your iPad.
Oh,
for those of us with iPads.
Yeah, I'm going to get my mom on for Christmas, and we'll promptly take it from her.
Good, good. With 4G? You going to do 4G?
Probably not.
Okay.
I don't know.
It's probably not worth it.
Well, my brother's a fucking dunce when it comes to data.
Yeah.
And, like, just refuses to go to the Apple store, even though his iPhone just bleeds data left and right. Like, I'm good for 2.5 gigs a month.
Yeah.
And I fuck off on my phone 24/7.
Yeah.
Like, I've taken a shit in 5 years without a smartphone. You know what I mean? But, God, I don't know what he does. He eats 7-8 gigs a goddamn month. I don't know what he's doing. I'm like, are you streaming audio? Is this all porn? What is it? And he's like, I don't know. I'm like, well, go to Apple then. I don't have time for that. World's busiest man, my brother. God bless him. So, yeah, your 3 Thanksgiving games, they started that tradition. I know it used to always be Detroit was hosting a game and Dallas was hosting a game, and those were typically like a 12:30 or 1 and then a 4/4:30 game. I want to say for 4 years now, is it? Something like that.
Yeah, they've had the third game on Thanksgiving.
Yeah, and they try to make it a pretty hot matchup, typically. They know they've got a huge audience.
And to me, this is such a great game for them to have put on Thanksgiving night, because it feels like we're beginning to look at the playoffs.
Yeah.
It
so,
just feels like a playoff game with Seattle playing at San Francisco.
Yeah, that is the 8:30 game on NBC. And I don't know. Do we want to do picks on that one? Are we going to do the pick 'em for the week or what? Shall we pick the Thanksgiving games?
I'm picking Seattle, man, based on what I saw from the 49ers against the Redskins on Sunday. I don't think they have time to turn it around.
I'm going to go with the 49ers just because, as I've elaborated previously, the kind of pattern between these two guys is whoever hosts it wins it, and the only thing that throws it off is every time Seattle hosts it, they win by 50, and every time the 49ers host, they win by 2. You know what? The trend will continue.
I'm going to say that the 49ers have been playing too much extra football the last few years with no results.
Just worn.
Yeah, I think this is going to be the time that we start to see the wear and tear from the past few years because it's a short week and it's late November.
But it's not like Seattle hasn't. You know, they've had postseason runs, but
not like the 49ers, man.
Yeah,
they played in three consecutive conference championships.
Frank Gore has something like compared to Lynch, like an extra half season on him at this point.
I mean, it's honestly Gore that I worry about the least. It's more that offensive line that's already been decimated by injury. So,
I hadn't thought about it that deeply, but good for you.
We'll see. I mean, you could be right. It could just be Seattle really sucks when they don't play at home.
I applied girl logic. I might as well have picked on uniform colors. Bears at Lions. I think we both agree that the Lions should win that one, right?
That's just going to be poorly coached football. On all sides. Maybe not all sides, but each team will do poorly on one side of the ball.
That is why you did not hear a lot of anguish out of either of us when we explained we had our meals at 1:30. It's like, well, we got to miss one.
If we got to miss one, that's not going to be quality, right?
Dude, I'll be honest. A lot of years, the Lions game, period, is the one, even if I'm not eating, I kind of tap out on. I half-ass it.
I will watch that one because the Lions are historically bad, but I always enjoy it when they're hosting an excellent team because I'm like, this is great. I get to see Tom Brady play a video game.
Oh, yeah, just madden it up.
Yeah. It's so much fun when the Lions get torched on Thanksgiving. If you just watch a just full-on beatdown of Detroit, it's hilarious.
Well, they're going to win this.
You think?
Who, Detroit?
Yeah.
Yeah, they're winning. There's no... Bears have looked very bad this season. It still blows my mind they're at 5 wins. It really does.
I mean, I think when the Lions' offense is on the field, it's just going to look like an episode of, what is that called, Benny Hill?
Oh, yeah, with the yakety sacks in the background.
Dun, 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 dun. Yeah. No, I mean, the Bears' defense is just awful. Lions' offense is awful.
But
it's just going to be pathetic.
Bears' offense is not great.
Bears' offense has great weapons.
I guess, yeah, and there was a time, at least, in the season that the Lions' defense was being quite heralded.
So I think that's going to be
or
worth
was
watching.
Quite heralded. That's how English
if
works.
If you're going to, like, walk in and out of that game, make sure you walk in while the Bears' offense is on the field, because I think that's where the good action will be.
Time your big turkey dumps.
I mean, if they're not playing well on offense for the Bears, that's what Trestman's known for. Mm-hmm. It just means that the Detroit defense is actually doing something right. Whereas, like, there's no way to look at when the Lions are on offense and the Bears are on defense. That's not NFL-caliber football. That's not even worth half the price of admission.
Strong words, sir. Strong words. The 4:30 game is on Fox, and that if the NFC West is not your cup of tea, then Philadelphia at Dallas, that could be huge. Again, you had previously stated that you thought both of these, pretty much these are kind of like who's going to win and who's going to wild card, at least in your opinion. And I think in the opinion of a couple people, maybe more it was Seahawks at Arizona than San Francisco.
Yeah.
I think it would take a pretty historic meltdown for, Arizona to leave the picture at this point.
Listen, you got three really good teams out west, so anytime they face each other, it's a playoff game in my opinion. So I'm just excited for that 8:30 game, less so for this Eagles-Cowboys matchup because it's Sanchez. We still don't know what the situation is going to be with Nick Foles in the playoffs, so Sanchez to me is kind of not really bringing enough for me to be excited about watching the Eagles play. But, you know, they're winning with him at the helm, so I'm impressed with what Chip Kelly's doing with pretty mediocre quarterback, in my opinion.
Yeah, he's doing all right for himself, even if he's kind of like one touchdown to one pick just in that ratio over and over. I predict Dallas to win it. They seem to have gotten their head together, and, you know, just their offensive line is still a bunch of goddamn Goliaths. DeMarco Murray is still doing pretty well.
I just want to see a I want to see so many points drop. I want to see 90 points in that game. I really do. I just want to see these offenses go crazy. That's what I want. 4:30, right after I'm done with my meal. Just want to sit on the couch and watch touchdown after touchdown. That's all I want.
Sounds like I'm talking to myself. I thought you were Mr. Defense.
Oh, well, I think both these teams are losers. I don't think they can win in the playoffs. They're built to score a lot of points, so let's have a little exhibition.
I think the Eagles wouldn't go that deeply. I'm a big line dude when it comes to the postseason, and the Cowboys' offensive line looks strong enough to do something interesting.
All right, well,
let's see
if Tony Romo can actually win consecutive playoff games. Oh, I'm sorry. Let's see if he can win one.
Dude, behind that line, I mean, I'm not kidding. Did you see they tossed on a timer for some of the plays in the fourth quarter last night? Like 7.5 seconds.
Yeah, I mean, the Giants are a bad team. What do you want?
Yeah.
What do you want me to say?
I could have pleased a woman twice in that time frame.
Do you really think if they have to go up against the 49ers in the playoffs that the Niners line is going to give them 7 seconds?
The Niners? I don't know, man. I don't know. The
Seattle?
Niners
no.
Seattle would be... Yeah, they wouldn't get 7.5 out of Seattle. But, dude, that offensive line, you just watch them work. It's like a bunch of sumo wrestlers just doing that E-Honda hoi.
Yeah.
Arm push. I mean, they can keep shit up.
I mean, I guess the Cowboys could beat Green Bay.
That wouldn't shock me at all.
The problem is, what if the Cowboys got to play at Lambeau? Oh, now we're worried about something, aren't we?
Isn't the whole logic that what succeeds at Lambeau is like a good run game and a good line? I wouldn't be worried about that.
I would if I were playing in Dallas.
I mean, I wouldn't like it.
Can, yeah.
Yeah. I wouldn't want my hand to feel like a frozen ice cube and then mash it into a 300-pound human being charging at me. That's because I have dainty little sewer's fingers. All right, what else is interesting coming up this week? Chargers at Ravens, 1 p.m. Sunday. Don't think that there's 18 fucking Thanksgiving games. We ran out of those. Chargers at Ravens, 7-4, and Ravens are 6-4. I think that one could be cool. Any thoughts on that, Mr. Baltimore over here?
Yeah, I mean, I'm really picking heavy on the AFC North at this point, so I'm just going to have a strong bias against the Chargers and Chiefs as we head towards the wildcard season. I'm just basically picking them to lose and, like, three teams from the AFC North to make the playoffs. So I'm just, yeah, I would love to see the Ravens just destroy the Chargers and all hope of the playoffs for those Southern Californians.
Oh, yeah, it really breaks their heart. It's like, oh, I just have to go out and hike in a t-shirt in the middle of December, and then have sex with this woman who has natural D cups and a 24-inch waist.
You think
Philip
Rivers
Woe
has so
me.
Many kids just from, like, having so many seasons end short? And he just goes home and impregnates his wife again.
Yeah, just hangs up his helmet and goes, "Time's the fucks!" With a chunk of hay in his mouth.
I'm really looking forward to the Giants playing the Jaguars on Sunday.
Really?
No. Of course not. Come on, son. Come on, son. There's some bad games on
you
Sunday.
You fooled me. Browns at Bills. I could have something. I don't know. I think the Browns have cooled the last couple of weeks.
Call me when the Browns play a team that looks playoff bound. Like, they've been ugly.
Yeah, but they're 7-4, man. Again, I don't give a shit if you're ugly as long as at some point in the season you have shown me fireworks. If you've sucked the whole season... Right. And, like, you kind of win ugly a couple times, I really won't think that you're going to do anything. The example I always love to pull out is 2012, the Vikings. Somehow they make the postseason. It was 2012, yeah. Right? Yeah, under Leslie Frazier. And everyone's just like, what the fuck are we doing here?
Yeah.
And they just, you know, they're just as routinely dispatched, as coldly dispatched as you can be by the Packers. And to me, there's a difference between that and, like, you know, there are teams that have the hot first half of the season. They kind of cool off the second half. But sometimes you heat back up and you do win it all.
Yeah, I guess theoretically. I'm a big fan, though, of the way that teams like the Patriots, you know, Bill Belichick system of, like, you continue to get better every week.
Everyone would prefer that. Everyone.
It sucks to watch teams that... I don't mind if teams are up and down. I feel like the Browns are an up and down team. Whereas the Lions, to me, look like a team that just is... slowly losing its ability to compete in the NFL this season. I mean, it's other teams are adjusting to their style of play, and they're not bouncing back accordingly. So that's not good, man. It's nice if you're good for the first half of the season, but if you can't score touchdowns in the second half of the season, there's not even a point to show up in the playoffs.
Yeah, Skins at Colts. 1 p.m.
Let's talk about the Colts. I mean, that they seem to have pretty much locked up that division. I don't think they're really going to have much trouble between here and...
No, they're going to get the South.
So, I mean, Houston really dropped the ball this week, and I just feel so bad.
They dropped the ball in the offseason as fucking Jadeveon Clowney's just sitting there like, I still got ice packs on my knees. He's played, what, 2 games? 1.5?
Yeah.
And they have this glaring need at quarterback? Oh, it drives me nuts. This the draft is such a crapshoot. Never pretend otherwise.
This is why I don't draft quarterbacks in the first round, man.
They tried to get out of the first pick, and they couldn't. And so they had to just be like, well, we're settling for this once-in-a-lifetime talent. Yeah, how's that treating you? How's that treating you? That that tandem he formed with J.J. Watt. Oh, wait. Oh, wait. All right.
I'm going to say Steelers versus Saints. That's going to be a nice matchup following this week's Monday night game that we're not previewing because the Saints are hosting the Ravens. And then they're going to go on the road next week to play at Pittsburgh. So it's kind of a nice time to get a sense of where the Saints are as a team. And it's also a nice chance to weigh how the Ravens and the Steelers are playing. These are all teams that have a fighting chance to make the playoffs, so let's see how good they are.
Yeah, I don't know, man. The Steelers are still in it, 7-4, and the Saints could be goddamn 0-10 in their division and still be in it. And I don't mean that as an exaggeration. They would mathematically still be in it. Let's see, Cards at Falcons, 4-05. Speaking of just horrible bottom dwellers.
To be fair, man, what happens if the Falcons win? I mean, what are you going to say about the Cardinals? Because we are dealing with a backup quarterback in Drew Stanton.
Bad things. Yeah, but I don't think anyone attributed the Cards kicking ass earlier this season to being a byproduct of Carson Palmer, or at least entirely.
It's like, more about that defense, right?
Yeah, the defense is great, and Carson Palmer just like kind of looked around and went, oh, shit, yeah, I have Larry Fitzgerald on my team. That's pretty baller.
Well, let's see how that defense does on the Super Bowl. The Superdome turf.
That sounds like one fuck of a gay porn. The Cardinals are at the Superbone.
Matt Ryan's going to show the Superbone to the Cardinals.
Matt Ryan looks exactly like Peter North, and I mean exactly.
Peter North plays his home games at the Superbone.
Matt Ryan, yeah. I picture Matt Ryan just coming whole milk. Or half and half, just like his fucking Peter North doppelganger.
So, no, I'm going to... Fuck it, why not? I'm going to call the Falcons to win that game, man. I'll look like a fucking genius if it happens. Or you'll just call me out for just randomly picking a game.
I don't know. A bunch of people think that whoever comes out of the South because they... I don't know. I mean, whoever's winning it, it's more or less the Saints or the Falcons. They're both dome teams, and like some crazy shit could happen.
Absolutely.
A and team visits them in the postseason.
They're so offense heavy. I mean, there's just
someone could get blown out. Some crazy shit's happened. It's Thanksgiving though really blows the wad of the games this year.
You missed one.
No, I mean there's
crown jewel. No, the crown jewel, man, is
what, shit? Are we being sarcastic?
No, the 4:30 game on CBS is Patriots at Packers, man.
Whatever you're looking at is in a different order than what I have it. Like, my bottom line is, Patriots at Packers, 4:30. That's great.
And dude, that might be I'm saying it's fair for people to think that's a preview of the Super Bowl. Those are, the apparent one seeds for both conferences. It rarely happens both of those, one seeds go to the Super Bowl like they did last year. But right now, those are two teams that look like they're going to just rock the rest of the conference in the regular season. That's a great game, man.
I feel way more secure picking the Patriots for that than the Packers. The Packers have, for 5 years now, been that team where everyone's like, oh, it's their year again, and they've shit the bed.
Yeah, they've shat the bed in the playoffs. The time they won the Super Bowl, I've said this before on the show, but they were a wild card the whole time.
Yeah, they were 9-7.
They're on the road every single game. They didn't want to play at Lambeau. So it's almost a bad thing in a way for them to play at Lambeau in the playoffs. When there's such a pass-oriented offense.
Okay, correct me if I'm wrong. Were they not 15-1 the year after or something insane?
Well, to be fair, that year, they basically sat all their starters for that Week 17 game.
Yeah, that's how and Matt then Flynn had a bye week.
Yeah, so guys hadn't played together really for 3 weeks.
Yeah, not a smart move. This is not college ball where you go home, start a family, and then it's like, oh, we got my bowl game still.
It was kind of a comedy of errors in a way, because it was a night game when they lost to New York, so it was actually colder than it could have been if they had played during the day. So it's like that much more reason for the Packers receivers to drop the ball. Whereas, you know, New York was playing hard up until the last minute in week 17, and then they won a wild card game, and they're ready to go. They're like, screw you guys. Yeah. We'll take you guys out. Cold weather. Come on. Come to New York sometime.
The quote-unquote nothing-to-lose mentality. Sunday night's game, Broncos at Chiefs.
I'm not watching that.
Oh, I would.
Good
I would.
For you. I'm going to be footballed out by that point, man.
Except for homo hour. Homo hour, where I wait for, what's it, Homeland to kick in. I wait for Homeland to be watchable on my Xbox during the hour of the gay every Sunday night.
But then, yeah, on Monday night, looks like I might watch Dolphins at Jets.
Yeah, you got a weird thing for the Jets. I'll watch it because it's on.
I mean, like I said, Gino's out, so I'm not that excited for it. The real problem, though, it sounds like I might start a new job on Tuesday. So
nice.
Yeah, nah, that's kind of like the last hurrah of like completely self-employed. So I'm really kind of anxious about that possibility. But we'll see. Maybe I luck out, work something else out, and continue this freedom that I've been able to enjoy for the last few years. So
freedom's sweet, but it ain't free.
Nope.
Don't
no,
forget
ain't.
Those country lyrics. All right, folks, this was Papa's Football Podcast. Thank you very much for making it to the end. Don't know how you did it, but you did it. Give yourself a pat on the back. I'm John Papa Giorgio, joined by Howard Flood. The show's site, pfpod.com. Go there for every episode we've ever done, as well as Howard's writing about this and that in NFL and college ball. Use your podcast app on whatever iDevice you might have, and whatever podcast app you use on any kind of droid. I don't that manifold army of crappy lesser than devices. We all know what it is. You can look up Papa's Football Podcast. That has an apostrophe S, P-A-P-A apostrophe S, and Papa's Basement. That's the comedy show that the two of us do together. And please subscribe. That helps with the numbers. Please give us a positive rating and leave a review. That's what you can really do. We've never monetized. We are too lazy for it. We're going to pretend it's because we're better than that, but we're not. We're just lazy. But
I put ads on the website.
That is true. How are we going to split the 11 cents we've made?
I think we're up to 23 cents, man.
Damn odd numbers. Yeah, but that's what you can really do to help us out. Post about us on Reddit, share us with your friends, that kind of stuff. I don't know. If you're into it, you know, hopefully your friends would be into it, too. It makes sense to me. This isn't like tranny porn that you're looking at on the sly. We're pretty accessible. All right. Till the next week.
Peace.